Let's take a closer look now, my friends, at this life of Abraham to see whether, in fact, he did doubt, and how that squares with Paul saying he didn't doubt. This is Colin Cook here, How It Happens, the broadcast on the Gospel, and in the new series, I Believe But, and I Believe But I Can't Stop Doubting is the theme this week. So stay with me. Well, let's see if we can have a little fun with Abraham and explore a little bit Genesis chapter 12 to 22, chapters 12 to 22, and see if it's fair what I've been saying. Did Abraham actually doubt? Do we have any evidence of that? Was his faith trying to counter his doubt? Well, we have quite a bit of evidence, as a matter of fact. First of all, remember that Abraham was promised this child at the age of 75, and he didn't get this child till the age of 100. Now, please, my dear friends, use your imagination. Abraham and his wife must have made love a number of times, must have had sexual intercourse in order to produce this child. What would it have been like after 10 years and no conception? What about 15 years and 19 years? Don't you think during that time Abraham would have wondered, did I really get this vision from God? Did God really appear to me? Might he have said, well, maybe I have forfeited the promise because there's been a lot of sinning in my life since that day, and perhaps the Lord has changed his mind. Do you see that it is impossible, unless Abraham was made of plastic, that he would not have thought such things that would have put his mind into a tizzy for a while until he was able to bounce back with by faith? Well, then remember this, that when he gets to Canaan, the promised land, there are warlike tribes all over the place. And it is very interesting that God comes to him when he sees all these tribes and says, to your descendants I will give this land. That's 12 verse 7. Why would God say that? If Abraham had not become a little bit nervous about the fact that this land that he had promised was full of warlike tribes. Doesn't it strike you that God gave him the promise again when he had already received it? Why would God give the promise again if Abraham's faith were not becoming a little bit shaky? Then think of the famine. There is famine throughout the land to such a degree that Abraham has to leave. Now, why did he leave? Remember, he has a household of about 500 people. Why did he leave? Was it because there wasn't enough food? Or was it because he doubted that God was giving him this promise? Now, we don't know the answer to that. But the most important thing is that Abraham didn't know the answer either. In other words, he would have had uncertainty about his own motives. I've got to provide for my family, he must have said, and yet, am I really going out here and leaving Egypt, leaving Canaan, because I really don't believe that this is the place that will work for me? That, you see, my friends, is the nature of faith. It lives in uncertainty. I'm not sure I'm leaving whether because there's not enough food, or I'm not sure I'm leaving because I'm doubting the promise. Well, he goes down to Egypt. And, you know, the story of his wife and his sister, that is the same woman, Sarah, she was his half-sister, and he makes it clear to the Egyptians that she's his sister. And Abraham is very nervous because Sarah's a very beautiful woman, and it's quite possible that the courtiers, looking out for some treat for their despot king in order to save their own necks, would want to pull in another woman or two. And that's precisely what they did in this case. Well, of course, it was a disaster. Abraham was humiliated. He found out, the king found out, Pharaoh, very, very quickly, that this was Abraham's wife, because the plagues came into the court, and he sent her off, and he sent Abraham off, and they were packed off out of the country. Bungled. Completely bungled, this issue was, and Abraham left defeated and humiliated. And interestingly, he goes back to the place where he had come from, Bethel, and there he prayed before the altar that he had set up to God before. What was that prayer now? We're not told, but almost certainly Abraham would have been rededicating himself to the faith of believing in the promise of God, believing that God was guiding him, believing that Canaan was his, even though he wasn't seeing a very pleasant fulfillment of that promise yet. And then the in-laws, Lot, left. And he left and took the best land. He went east and left Abraham in this more barren place. Both Lot and Abraham had a lot of family, and there was still the famine in the land, and no doubt there wasn't enough food and water to sustain them both. So there goes Lot, and Abraham, it's possible, is now quite disappointed in Lot and confused about how the promise is going to work itself out. And what does God do? He comes to him, and he tells him, "Lift up your eyes on high, and look north and south and east and west, for all the land you see I will give it to you forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth." Why would God say that? If Abraham didn't already think that his whole tribe had been lopped in half, now that Lot had left, and that there seemed to be a movement backwards rather than forwards. And in the midst of that uncertainty, God comes to him and assures him that it's going to work out. And Abraham must have taken the dust in his hands and let it run through his fingers and thought, "Oh my goodness, my descendants are going to be as prolific as this dust running through my fingers." And God tells him to get up, walk around the land, its length and breadth, and wherever you walk, I will give it to you. God reaffirming the promise because of the circumstances that suggest that the promise might not get fulfilled, Abraham's faith a little tottering, and God reassures him. And of course, what do you think? There would be more lovemaking, there would be more efforts on the part of Abraham and Sarah to bring this promise to fulfillment. But still, no conception. And then war. What about that? Lot taken captive. Abraham takes 318 of his best men and routs the kings and rescues Lot. What do you think Abraham felt when he got home? Well, we have a clue. Because God appears to Abraham and says, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." That's 15 verse 1. Now, why would God tell Abraham not to fear? Well, obviously because Abraham was afraid. God would not make a statement like that if it didn't have any relevance to Abraham's emotional setup. What was he afraid of? Abraham had been near death, no doubt, in saving Lot. He was within a hairbreadth of his life. He must have thought when he came back, "My goodness, what if I had been killed? I don't have a kid yet. I don't have the son of the promise." But God assured him, "Do not be afraid. I will protect you. I'm a shield. You will get this son." Then what do you think after this assurance? Well, believe it or not, Abraham is teetering on the edge of doubt after God has made that promise to him. Assurance. He says, "O Lord God, what will you give to me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir." That's Genesis 15, verses 2 and 3. Isn't that doubt? Isn't that confusion? And God says to him, "This man shall not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your body, he shall be your heir." That's 15 verse 4. Now you see, God doesn't rebuke him and says, "Oh, Abraham, you're just full of doubt, I can't deal with you." No, what does he do? In the next verse it says, "Then God took him outside and said, 'Count the stars if you can, so shall your descendants be.'" I love that, the way God takes him outside. Did he take him by the hand? He walks him out gently and he says, "Look up. Count the stars if you can. So shall your descendants be." God reassuring Abraham. Well, then he believed. And he reckoned it to him as righteousness, it says in verse 6 of chapter 15. So by these words, Abraham was no doubt saying, "I refuse to fear the Canaanites anymore. I refuse to fear that I'm in danger. God will protect me because he's going to fulfill the promise of this child." But can you believe it, my friends? Even though Abraham has affirmed his faith in God and it's counted to him as righteousness, he must have been thrown into doubt yet one more time. Because God said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you up out of Ur to give you the land to possess it." God is reminding him again of the promise. And what do you think Abraham says in the very next verse? Verse 8 of chapter 15. "Oh Lord, how shall I know I'll possess it? How shall I know I'll possess it?" What a question. Obviously a question of doubt. And how does God respond? He enacts the covenant, the new covenant. He tells Abraham to bring sacrifices. Abraham divides them up, and then he falls asleep, and a great dream comes to him. It's a very strange dream, all about the fact that there will be, his people will be in captivity and slavery for 400 years. Abraham woke up and must have felt, "This is horrendous. How can my people survive 400 years? How will they be ever able to keep the promise, to believe it?" He must have been very distraught. And yet God performed the covenant without any commitment from Abraham himself. He did not walk through between the carcasses. God alone did. The covenant was sealed because it is a promise based upon God's promises alone, not ours. And notice, a promise given through the sufferings of life. And yet we may believe because God will bring us through those sufferings. So Abraham continued to believe through all of these doubts, do you see? And what did God do? He did not rebuke him for the doubt. He simply kept encouraging his faith so that Abraham would continue to believe. And Abraham got to 99, and I bet you he looked in a bronze mirror and saw his old wizened body and Sarah's furrowed body. And he thought to himself, "I guess this is never going to happen if it doesn't happen by a miracle." And it's as if God said, "You're right, Abraham. I've been waiting for 24 years for you to say this. This is my act, not yours. This time next year, you will have a son. Change your name from Abram, which means Lord, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude." And so the promise was fulfilled. And there you have it, my friends. God knows that we doubt, but he does not count our doubt against us, and we need to do the same. Not count our doubt as having any power to separate us from God, knowing that our faith is alive in Christ, and we trust him in our spirit. So what's the message? Don't let doubt make you doubt. Don't let doubt have the last word. Don't be like a person tossed over the waves and the sea, simply because you let doubt finally say, "Why not give up?" And you say, "Yeah, let's go. This was pointless." No. Always keep bouncing back by trusting and believing. And that, my friend, is what it is not to doubt. Your prayers are requested, my friend, and I do request them for Okechukwu in Nigeria. OK, if you can't remember his name, OK, O-K-E-Y. He's in the hospital for malaria and typhoid. And we are also praying that a certain person might come through with the funds for Okechukwu to have an operation on the lower part of his stomach, which would be removed so that he would be free from all of these erosions that are causing, for the third time, a blood loss of one-third of the volume in his body. So I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for your support. I'll see you next time, my friends. Cheerio, and God bless.